Good evening, and welcome to our Maundy-Thursday worship. We say a word of welcome and blessing to all members and friends of King of Glory Lutheran, Resurrection Lutheran, and Trinity Lutheran Church, and to any who have come from any community of faith. We pray that God will bless you as you come into worship this night. A couple of quick words of instruction. Obviously, we cannot be together physically with one another in worship, and one of the central components of the Maundy-Thursday worship is to celebrate the washing of feet. And so we would encourage you, when that moment comes in the worship service, there will be some music, and we pray that you will find a moment to have your feet washed. This may require you to pause our worship for a moment here so that you can go and find a basin or set something up so that you can have a station where, hopefully, if you have family or loved ones or a friend close by, you can wash one another's feet. And even if you don't, please participate in that on your own and know that you are, by the bonds of the Spirit, connected to the community of faith who are doing so all over the world. And also, there's a lot of hand-washing that is going on in our world, and so perhaps instead of the washing of feet, we encourage you to take a moment and find a way to have your hands washed, if possible by another person, through the pouring of water gently over your hands. And even if you're on your own, by yourself tonight, maybe you can just take that moment to pour water over your hands, lovingly rub them together, and to know that they are held and embraced by your Savior, Jesus Christ. And to conclude our worship, traditionally, Maundy-Thursday also has the reading of Psalm 22, and we will participate in that. To go along with that, in the sanctuaries, altars are stripped, and all the vestments and paraments and aspects of worship will be taken away to lay everything bare in preparation for Good Friday. And perhaps you can find a way in your own home to recognize that as well. Maybe there's a small space that you can clear away. Perhaps you can gather with a candle and extinguish that during the reading of Psalm 22. Or perhaps you can just let your heart be laid bare before God. Clear a space to come before the cross on Good Friday. Now I invite you to take a moment, let your heart be still, and we will gather into worship. Friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to struggle against sin and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we were called at our baptism. Within the community of the Church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sin against God and our neighbor, and enter the celebration of the great 3 days, reconciled with God and one another. Let us take a moment to reflect before God as we enter into confession.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. May God make it so. Amen. Sisters and brothers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave us a new commandment, to love one another as he loves us. Write this commandment in our hearts, and give us the will to serve others just as he was the servant of all. Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. And our psalm for this evening is selected verses from Psalm 116. The psalmist writes, "I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones.
O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds.
I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem.
Praise the Lord. Our gospel for this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And John writes, "Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin
and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I would like to begin this homily with a little teaching before we get into some preaching. That is that Thursday of Holy Week is called Maundy Thursday. The name Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, or command, and is the first word of the phrase in the Latin scriptures, mandatum novum. In English, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And of course, if one really wants to give a commandment that is impressive, it always sounds so much more impressive to give your command in Latin, mandatum novum, a new commandment. But Jesus continues speaking to his disciples and says, "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." Jesus says these words during his final meal with his disciples. For this reason, worship on Maundy Thursday is almost always a communion service and is often used as an occasion on which to reflect on the nature and import of the Lord's Supper, which is a tad ironic. For while there is indeed a supper recorded in John's Gospel, there is no indication from John's scene that this is the institution of the Lord's Supper. In the other three accounts at Jesus' final meal with his disciples, which is importantly a Passover meal, he offers them instructions about how to commemorate this occasion, and indeed his life and ministry, by instituting a new meal, even a new Passover meal. But in John's Gospel, Jesus instead washes the feet of his disciples in an unusual display of service, and perhaps even certitude, which is of course why Peter has to object, and then commands them to do the same. Discipleship, in other words, is about service, about caring for others. And having set this example for them, He then adds a new commandment to the already 10 commandments with which they were most familiar. Mandatum novum, love one another. Which raises an interesting question. Can you command someone to love another person? Isn't love beyond commands, discipline, the human will, or even logic? In this COVID-19 pandemic, we've been subjected to all sorts of commands by presidents and prime ministers, premiers and governors, mayors and public health officials that have commanded physical distancing, stay at home, wash your hands, no gathering together, which certainly has affected us in our worship, whether it be Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, or Easter. But none of them have commanded us to love one another. But Jesus does command us to love. For when he commands his disciples to love one another, he does not use the Greek word eros that captures passionate love or desire, from whence our word erotic stems, or the Greek phileo, a family endearment and loyalty, like in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Rather, when Jesus commands his disciples to love another, he chooses the Greek word agape, the self-sacrificing love of a parent, the promise of an ongoing and permanent welcome, and the self-giving generosity and compassion for the sake of the other. Jesus commands his disciples then and now to act in a loving way, to care for and serve each other as he has cared for and served them. This kind of love, because it is more about behavior than emotion, you can command. And here, perhaps, is where the story John tells and the stories the other evangelists tell come together in our worship practice, as on the Maundy Thursday, we don't come together as physically in community to remember Jesus' sacrificial love for us. But on this Maundy Thursday, we put it into practice by sacrificing our physically coming together. And we love one another through prayers for each other, remembering to be in touch with one another, and recognizing that ubiquitous Spirit of Christ that blows everywhere and keeps us together as a worshiping and compassionate community. God's enormous sacrifice to the death to save all the other children of God is perhaps best captured in the pouring out of his life that we remember in the Lord's Supper, and in the pouring out of the water in a life of loving service that we remember in the foot washing. This pouring out of God's love for us is done in order that we might be encouraged by God's promises and inspired and equipped to love one another. Now here I want to audaciously depart from the reading in John, but stay with the theme of God's outpouring love for us and the outpouring of the Spirit. And I want to turn to Paul's letter to the Romans, where he says, "We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. I'll be honest. The idea of boasting in our sufferings does not come easily to me. Like most of us, I tend not simply to avoid suffering, but when I am suffering, or even struggling for that matter, I prefer to hide it. I'm suspect there are a number of reasons for that. Not wanting to burden others, a good prairie value. Never wanting to admit, even to myself, that I am struggling, which of course I never am. Not wanting to appear weak in a culture that defines strength in terms of power rather than vulnerability or suffering. But the Apostle Paul doesn't seem to share any of them. Rather, he believes that suffering is part and parcel of our life in this world, and that when approached from the point of view of faith, can actually lead to grow in faith and confidence, confides, with faith. But, this is important to notice, that does not mean Paul is advocating suffering for suffering's sake, or that he believes God intends for us to suffer. Far from it. Rather, Paul asserts that we worship a God who surprises us by showing up to meet us right in the midst of our vulnerability, pain, and suffering, who shows up at a supper to wash our feet. This was a surprise to his first century audience, and is likely surprising to his 21st century audience as well, because we tend to think about God in terms of strength and power and might, and so we assume that's what God looks for in return. But the foot washing, and certainly the cross, proclaim loudly and clearly that is not who God is. Truth be told, that almighty, all-powerful God is likely what Paul believed for much of his life. But when Paul is confronted by the crucified and risen Christ, all of his ideas about who God is and where we can expect to meet God are turned on their head. God's Messiah, showing up as one who washes disciples' feet. God's Messiah, showing up as a convicted criminal. God's Messiah, put to death in the most awful of ways, surrounded by two thieves, suffering as weak and pitiful a death as one can imagine, that thought simply astounded Paul and forced him to think about God differently. God, it turns out, is not waiting until we become good enough or strong enough or righteous enough or coronavirus-free enough to come to us. Rather, God comes to meet us in our weakness, struggles, and vulnerability in order to comfort us, strengthen us, and equip us to comfort and strengthen others. While we indeed should practice physical distancing, God never adopts that practice. Two brief outpourings related to Paul's conviction in light of our circumstances. first. If you are feeling anxious or stressed or frightened, not only are you not alone, that is a pretty normal set of responses to a pandemic. But you are also not somehow falling short or failing others. Rather, you are being honest, facing what is difficult and being truthful about the dramatic and challenging nature of our circumstances. Faith as confidence is also the faithful understanding of courage. Courage is not the absence of fear or vulnerability, but rather is the ability to persevere in the midst of fear and vulnerability. That is what Christ showed us going to the cross. That is who Paul imitated in his life for Christ. And so now it is our turn to show courage. So, dear people of God, we will confront the challenges and hardships of this pandemic together, welcoming the fears, concerns, tears, and more as honest expressions of both the vulnerability and solidarity we share in Christ. Second, we'll remind each other that God chooses to meet us precisely in our weakness and vulnerability. God washes our feet so that we know that God always loves and accepts every part of us, even the parts we have a hard time accepting and loving. This is what Paul means by saying that suffering can lead to endurance, and endurance to character, and character to hope. Because when you realize God is with you and for you, that God is always on your side, then you find a way not simply to survive challenges, but even to persevere and to flourish. Sometimes it's only when things are most difficult that we recognize God's presence most powerfully. And so we will continue to gather digitally in worship, continue to reach out to each other in the varieties of ways possible, and continue to support each other in the confidence, with the courage, and in faith that indeed God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We will get through this. We will get through it together. And when we do, we will be surprised that we have grown in our faith, our confidence, our courage, and the awareness of the outpouring of God's abiding grace. Amen. Thank you.
On this night, we have heard our Lord's commandment to love one another as he has loved us. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love another, to be servants to each other as Jesus became our servant. Our commitment to this loving service is signified in the washing of feet, following the example our Lord gave us on the night before his death.
In the time of coronavirus, we are not able to gather together in physical proximity to each other, and so congregations cannot engage in serving each other by washing one another's feet, as we have so reverently done for so many years. This year, if you are with family or gathered with another, you are all encouraged to take the time to watch and wash over these next few minutes as a sign of service and love in Jesus' name. Many may be gathered by themselves, we recognize. Our world is receiving a command to wash our hands so regularly that hands become a focus of uncertainty, maybe even fear. And so as a sign of Jesus' commandment of love, we encourage you also to consider having your hands receive water and prayer as a sign of community and care, perhaps as a supplement to foot washing, or even in place of foot washing. For those who are on their own, we encourage you tonight, pour water over your hands, and may this be a sign to you of the Lord's touch. Know that your community of faith is with you in this time. We invite you now to enter into this time of washing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
Now, we invite you, let your heart be still. let your body be still. Know the Lord's presence with you here in this place and each and every day, and we invite you now to find that place in your body and spirit that enables you to enter into prayer. Our prayers tonight are taken from and adapted from the ELCIC worship site and have been crafted by Cameron Wiggins Belm. Let us pray. Jesus knew how to gather and give to his disciples, so tonight we are reminded that his giving was far-reaching. His sacrifice was for all. The lonely, despised, fearful, neglected, and unloved. May we too be unreserved in our giving, so that our sharing may be a witness of God's love for all.
May we who are merely inconvenienced remember those whose lives are at stake.
May we who have no risk factors remember those most vulnerable.
May we who have the luxury of working from home remember those who must choose between preserving their health or making their rent.
May we who have the flexibility to care for our children when their schools close remember those that have no options.
May we who have to cancel our trips remember those who have no safe place to go.
May we who are losing our margin money in the tumult of the economic market remember those who have no margin at all.
May we who settle in for a quarantine at home remember those who have no home.
As fear grips our country, let us choose love during this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other. Let us find ways to be the loving embrace of God to our neighbor.
Gracious God, help us to open our hearts and feel the yearnings of our brothers and sisters who are lonely, despised, fearful, neglected, unloved. Help us to reach out in understanding by the bonds of the Spirit to clasp their hands and invite all to share in the blessings of community in the name of the one who suffered on behalf of all, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me, a company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled, I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.